This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, October 24th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a story about what it costs cities when big-time political candidates come to town. We'll also have a forecast coming up for the weekend with meteorologist Scott Olthoff. First, a look at today's news. With one more week of early voting, several county clerks in central Illinois say interest has been brisk. The clerk in Champaign County expects as many as 10% of the county's registered voters will have already cast a ballot before November 4th. Mark Sheldon says with an estimated 123,000 people registered by Election Day, that's more than 12,000 early voters.
That's voters that we won't have to serve that day. So that'll be good for the judges and good for the voters who do vote on that day in terms of the lines. But I think we'd be, if people are mistaken if they think that, you know, they can expect to just pop into the polling place and vote in a matter of 3 or 4 minutes. I think we can expect some lines. For a variety of reasons.
One reason is the complexity of this year's ballot. Champaign County voters are being asked to vote in at least 3 referenda, with more in some communities. Early voting continues through October 30th. Beyond that, voters will need to offer an excuse to vote absentee at the clerk's office. The National Rifle Association is endorsing the Democrat in the competitive 11th congressional district race in Chicago's south suburbs and Kankakee area. That surprises her Republican opponent, as Tony Arnold reports.
The NRA's endorsement of Democratic State Senator Debbie Halverson added some fuel to the fire in the contentious 11th District contest. The organization has a reputation for backing Republicans. Andy Soray is a spokesman for Republican candidate Martin Ozinga.
There's a lot of rank and file NRA members out there who've expressed some anger to us about this endorsement.
Soray says Ozinga opposes a ban on handguns and supports conceal and carry laws. But a spokesperson for the NRA says Halverson has stood up to Democratic Party leaders in the State House on Second Amendment issues. I'm Tony Arnold.
A survey finds voters have little faith in Illinois state government and its leaders. The statewide poll conducted for the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute shows the public takes an especially dim view of how the governor and legislature have handled the state's budget problems. The Institute's director, Mike Lawrence, says at the same time, voters fail to comprehend the magnitude of what he calls Illinois' financial crisis.
I think the public does not have the kind of understanding about the budget that it ought to have.
For that, Lawrence blames the media, which he says needs to do a better job of explaining budget matters. While 3 out of 4 respondents to the survey say state government is on the wrong track, Governor Rod Blagojevich and state legislative leaders earned even lower marks. The University of Illinois at Springfield's Survey Research Office conducted the poll. Police think they've solved an armed robbery from more than a year ago in Champaign County. Police say 41-year-old John Beck of Alton, Illinois, is now charged with robbing Kirchner Building Supply in Ogden in June of last year. They claim Beck fired shots during the course of the holdup and got away with money. Police say forensic evidence from the store gave them enough clues to develop a suspect. Beck is in the federal prison in Terre Haute for a robbery committed in Staunton, Illinois, the day before the Ogden holdup. Officials say the unemployment rate is up in all of Illinois' 12 metropolitan areas. Rockford had the highest unemployment rate at 8.8% in September. The city also had the biggest unemployment jump, a 3% increase from September of last year. Second highest was Kankakee-Bradley with 8.5%, followed by Danville with 8.4%. Champaign-Urbana's rate jumped from 4.5% last year to 5.7% last month. Illinois Department of Employment Security Director Maureen O'Donnell says the national economic slowdown is affecting Illinois. Earlier this month, IDES said Illinois' unemployment rate overall for September was 6.9%. That's compared with 6.1% nationally. The financial turmoil in the global markets has made its way down to municipal pension funds. Champaign officials are concerned about the firefighters' pension fund, which has lost about $6 million this year. The City of Champaign's Finance Director Richard Schnoor says despite the 14% drop in the fire pension fund, retirement money for firefighters appears safe. He says the pension board decided at a special meeting yesterday to rebalance the fund portfolio on a weekly instead of monthly basis in order to protect it from further losses.
Currently, and the pension fund is doing well. We've got $43 million in it. Of course, this is a decline from the amount of money we had a few months ago. because everything's declining right now in the markets. But people are going to get their payments.
Schnur says even if the markets collapse and the fire pension fund runs out of money, the city of Champaign is required by law to pay firefighters' pensions. He says about 175 people take part in the fire pension fund. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. When presidential politics comes to town, it gives voters a chance to see party leaders up close. From stump speeches to private fundraisers, they're a big part of campaigns, but they can also be costly. Someone has to pick up the tab, and usually it's local taxpayers. Illinois Public Radio's Sean Crawford reports.
On July 25th of this year, President George W. Bush flew into the Peoria airport and was immediately whisked away to a private farm for an invitation-only event. It was a fundraiser for Republican congressional candidate Aaron Schock, a strictly political visit, open only to the 1,400 people who had paid $500 apiece to attend. But anywhere the president goes, so does the Secret Service. That demands local authorities also provide a level of protection. Police, fire, and even public works crews were called in at an estimated cost of about $38,000 to the city of Peoria. Soon after, the financial hit the town was forced to take garnered publicity. Though he first protested, eventually the candidate, Aaron Schock, decided he would dip into his campaign fund.
I have heard from quite a few of my supporters and quite a few constituents, and despite the fact that there's not a policy, there's not a precedent of a candidate being asked to pay for these expenses, I've decided to reimburse the city of Peoria for whatever expenses related to this event.
But not everyone agreed that was necessary. Peoria Mayor Jim Artis.
It's tough economic times. We have a tough budget coming up. But by no means do I believe that he's responsible for those. And so we appreciate it on one hand. On the other hand, if we were going to create a policy next week or in the coming weeks, I still don't think it would be appropriate to retroactively charge someone for something that we didn't have a policy on.
Artis and the Peoria City Council are talking about an ordinance that would deal with similar events in the future, but they've yet to decide what course to take. Only one Illinois community has such a law on the books, and it's facing a lawsuit over its policy. Winnetka in Cook County is being sued by a Democratic fundraiser who says the measure that requires the host of an activity to pay for any expenses the town incurs violates his right to freedom of speech and assembly. Catherine Janiga is the Winnetka Village attorney. She sees it a different way.
The village, as a local government, is not allowed to spend money for support of political candidates. And when the village provides services without compensation for a political event, it, in effect, is supporting that candidate.
Janiga says Winnetka has other laws that also make sure the municipality is not left holding the bill. One was put in place when the movie Home Alone was being filmed there, as it required special round-the-clock city services. While the Winnetka lawsuit could prove to be a test case for other towns considering similar laws, some communities seem less concerned with recouping their costs after politicians' visit.
It is good to be back in Springfield. Feels like I'm coming home.
Springfield has hosted two large outdoor Barack Obama rallies, first for the kickoff of his presidential campaign, then his announcement of a running mate. Both times, police and fire department overtime costs were racked up. The most recent event ran a tab of around $40,000. Springfield Mayor Tim Davlin.
I've heard a lot of mayors' conferences, a lot of big city mayors don't necessarily want to see the president in their town. They know what it does to their overtime budget, but we don't have that opportunity very often in the city of Springfield, and I have to say that it has already come back to us probably tenfold, and what we couldn't go out and buy that type of press. So
Davlin is a Democrat and Obama supporter. He says the city is putting together a bill for the Obama campaign, but he's unsure if it will be paid. Even though he backs Obama, Davlin says this issue has nothing to do with partisanship. President Bush came to Springfield for the 2005 dedication of the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Museum. Secret Service asked for police help and for changes in the downtown area, including removal of several light poles. Davlin points out the city also covered those costs. I'm Sean Crawford.
Forecast from meteorologist Scott Olthoff calls for more rain today. We'll see it clear away, but we'll also see temperatures drop a bit, too. The forecast across the two states today, cloudy, damp, and cool, with periods of rain showers and perhaps an isolated thunderstorm. The high today from 51 in eastern Indiana to 60 in the far south, 56 in Champaign-Urbana, with a south wind at 6 to 12 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight with periods of light rain, overnight lows from 40 to 45. For tomorrow, a few morning showers in the Champaign-Urbana area, then mostly cloudy skies. In the rest of Illinois, a few showers possible in the morning as well. In Indiana, cloudy with periods of light rain and showers throughout the day. Highs from 53 north to 62 south, in Champaign-Urbana 57. Tomorrow night becoming partly cloudy with a low of 41, then Sunday partly sunny, windy, and then turning colder late in the day. The early high 56 degrees. Sunday night, clear, breezy, and a low of 31. And on Monday, partly sunny, breezy, and unseasonably cool, with Monday's high only 46. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, October 24th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.